Welcome back to Fan Experience TV. Episode 95 is upon us. We're 5 episodes away from that coveted 100th episode. Thank you again for joining us, all of you dedicated viewers and listeners. For those of you tuning in for the first time, my name is Mike Kados, and alongside me is my co-host Rick Molina. Rick, how you doing tonight?
Doing well, Mike. I hope everybody had a great Labor Day weekend. I know I did, sitting in front of my computer just studying my brains out. But took a nice trip to the FanDuel Sportsbook we'll get into. Saw a little bit of baseball this weekend. And all in all, it was a good weekend. But, you know, where do we begin? We're 48 hours away, Mike. 48 hours away.
48 hours. Where's your invisibility cloak, man?
I couldn't wear it today. I don't want to zigzag, but we're 48 hours away from opening kickoff Thursday night. Cowboys at the Bucks. The Bucks are going to unveil their Super Bowl banner. Brady goes for number 8. They go for the undefeated season. Meanwhile, Dak is back with his crooked leg to see if he can lead the Cowboys, America's team, back to the promised land. So we're excited about that. We got some baseball going on tonight. The Yankees and the Blue Jays at the stadium. Your beloved New York Mets, and I think we'll start there. Who are they playing tonight? I don't even know who they're playing. That's how
they are playing the Fish, the Miami Marlins.
The Miami Marlins in Miami.
Which we all know who the owner, but we'll get into who the owner of the Miami Marlins is, and we'll talk about him shortly. Yeah. But yeah, the Mets, they had a pretty good week, all things considered.
Let's start with the Mets. And
they were on the brink of extinction. They were just about to just completely fall apart, and they're keeping themselves in this little race. It's still a very slim chance for them to win the NL East, even a slimmer chance for them to take the wild card. But with San Diego falling apart, it looked like they were going to run away with the wild card, and the Dodgers were going to run away with the other spot, with the Giants, one or the other. The Padres fell apart a little bit. Some teams have more of a chance to catch up now. So the Mets aren't mathematically eliminated. Anything can happen. Right now, hey, Miracle Mets, 1969. And today they are 69-69. So if you want to talk about omens, it could happen. It could happen.
We got a month left.
But being a Mets fan, you could be an optimist, you could be a pessimist, or you could be a realist. I take the realistic approach. So, yes, do they realistically have a chance? Yes. But do they have to go through a pretty good slate of games to get to that promised land? 3 of them are against the Yankees next weekend for, you know, that September 11th weekend, which I cannot believe is 20 years. And, you know, obviously
we'll touch on that a lot more.
But I can't believe that. But, yeah, I mean, I guess let's talk about Pete Alonso today.
Yeah.
He hit a home run last night. He hit a home run today. He's got 31 on the season, and he is the second fastest to get to 100 home runs for his career, 347 games, and Ryan Howard did it faster in 325. But Pete Alonso, hey, self-proclaimed best power hitter in baseball, and he's trying to do everything that he can to live up to that name, and he's definitely doing a lot on the offensive side. He's definitely getting the hits. His teammates need to pick up the slack for sure, especially the de facto leader that we paid $300 million to, Francisco Lindor.
340.
Thank you. But obviously, he needs to pick it up. And Baez, still, it's a guy. Yeah, you either love to hate or you hate to love. I mean, the guy does some trickiness on the base paths, and you're like, ooh, that's nice. But, you know, I mean, you just don't know how to feel about him, and he still needs to contribute a little bit more offensively instead of the little magic tricks on the bases. He needs to try to figure out how to not make the ball disappear into the catcher's glove when he's swinging. that's the magic trick he's not yet mastered at the moment, and he should bring some magic over to Francisco Lindor, his buddy's bat as well. And, you know, his other buddy, Edwin Diaz, like, you know, we got to figure out what we're going to do with him too, because he blew another save from last night. And, you know, I mean, there's going to be some shakeups no matter what happens. I think even if Luis Rojas makes it to the playoffs, which is that slim chance, I think his days are numbered under the Steve Cohen era. And there's going to be a lot of shakeups. Hopefully we can get some Theo Epstein, or, you know, a lot of talk about, you know, that's what they're going to need to really turn it around. And I will definitely not oppose Theo Epstein coming to the Mets and trying to change things up. But Rick, let's hear some of your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Mets at the end of the season. Look, and here's the thing about the Mets: with all the disasters and all the controversy and all the nonsense, they're four games back of Atlanta, right? And they're 4.5 games back of the wild card, of the second wild card. So the Mets are in. They got a month left. They're in this thing. You know, if they can somehow right the ship here. Now, obviously, the news of the day was that Jacob DeGrom had a partially torn UCL, but from what Sandy said, all indications are that it's healed. But if I'm the Mets, I don't take any chances with him. He hasn't pitched since the All-Star break. Sit him for the rest of the year. Bring him back next year when he's 100%, when he's healthier and he can contribute and give you a full season. There's no need to bring him back now. Even if you make a run here and you get to the playoffs, there's no need. You're right. Luis Rojas is going to go. They want a name in that dugout. They want a name. They want somebody who's a legitimate manager over there. Not saying that Luis Rojas isn't, but they want somebody seasoned in that dugout. And you're right. As far as general manager goes, you know, the smart money's on Theo Epstein. They're going to make a run at him. Cohen's got the billions. He's going to drop that cash on him. And there's no way Theo's going to be able to say no to another project of rebuilding and against the Yankees, right? He beat the Yankees in Boston. He's going to try to do it again with the Mets. If he does here, trying to re-own the city and all that. So I see that playing out that way. But look, the Mets, they somehow got to right the ship here, get past this stuff. Lindor's got to start hitting again. Javi Baez, like you're right, he's got to hit as well. And if they can find a way to just sort of steady the waters after the nonsense that's been going on for 2 weeks or whatever it is, and they make a run here, they got a shot. They got a shot to the playoffs. And it's just going to be fascinating to watch if they can make that run. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm with you. I don't know if the Mets got it in them. But if they're somehow able to make that run and Javi Baez and Lindor lead the way, man, forget it. I mean, whatever happened in the season, that's going to be totally forgotten. I mean, it's amazing how fans are. They'll just, from 1 minute they hate them, then they'll love it. It'll be thumbs up. It'll be great. They'll be in the playoffs. Then they'll get knocked out in the division round or whatever. But, you know, look, the Mets got a puncher's chance.
DeGrom, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but they got a puncher's chance, man. They're four back. They haven't been put away. And so we'll see how this plays out in the next 30 days.
It's not over until the fat lady sings and, you know.
Yeah, speaking of a team that's done.
Oh, come on. So we're saying that the Mets have a chance.
Yes, I'm saying
the ones that are leading the wild card.
Yes, I'm saying that.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay, you go on your little rant.
Yeah, we win 13 in a row. The world's in a better place. Everything's going well. And just like last week, the heavens opened up and the rain came down. And our beloved Yankees have lost, you know, they've lost 7 out of the last 10, 3 in a row in the last one, right? They're a half game up on the Red Sox in the wild card. 3 up on Toronto, and they're playing tonight. Cole's on the mound right now. And, I mean, it's just been a complete disaster. I mean, they can't hit. They can't do anything right. Their offense is just completely shut down. I mean, it is, and they're down 2-1 with Cole on the mound. It's just, I don't know what has happened here. All of a sudden, they just can't hit. They can't get the hit. They can't move a runner over. They can't. They have leads of like 8 runs, and they blow these 8-run leads, 9-run leads. It's incredible. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. And so the team's falling apart. That's it. It's over. Done. You know, I don't know what to say. I don't care if they're a half game up. It's just not looking good right now. As far as I'm concerned, and I've said it all season, the change has to be in the dugout. Aaron Boone, thank you for the home run in Game 7. You've done a great job. It's time for you to go. We got to get somebody in here who's a manager again, who can whip these guys into shape, because I think they're just too coddled in that clubhouse. And I think they need to make a change. But with half game up, they're just falling apart, Mike. Look, they're down 2-1. It's almost becoming these games now. The moment that the Yankees are down, you don't feel like they're going to come back anymore. I mean, they were ripping off 13 in a row. They've lost 7 out of 10 or whatever it is. 3 in a row they've lost. And even if they get a lead, you have the sense that they're just going to blow it. Loaiza's on the DL for 10. He's on the DL for 10 games with a strained rotator cuff. I mean, you know – it's just, you know, they're just barely getting to the finish line here, man. These last 30 days are going to say a lot about how Boone manages and the moves that Cashman made. Joey Gallo hasn't even hit. I think he had a home run the other day, but I mean, he's just that signing has been
Just 2 weeks ago, you were raving about it.
I was raving. I was wrong.
Dude,
I was wrong. and I was wrong. And so,
look, it's a good thing we have recordings of these things to go back on.
Yeah, and two weeks ago, and I was talking about
you. Yeah, oh, man, that's got to be. I got to have to cut that clip and this clip.
Yeah,
oh, the Messiah Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo Messiah. Saying, yeah,
this
Joey
guy, Gallo, nothing. This signing was.
It was. That's what I got to say. Rizzo's the guy we need to re-sign. But
you did have more.
More Rizzo
love for Rizzo,
but this is I mean, look, you're up 2-1, you're down 2-1 in the fourth, runner on second, Cole on the mound. You know, I think he just balked. I mean, it's just coming apart. So it's just, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's just wait and see. 30 days, Mike. 30 days to see how the Mets and Yankees play out. Your team might go to the playoffs. My team just might get blown off the map right here. So,
and your team's the one that is leading in the wild card race
by a half game, doesn't matter.
So, yeah, and are what 20 something games over 500?
Yeah.
And my team is exactly,
doesn't matter.
500, 69.
Yeah. We have no momentum right now. We have no momentum. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, losing 7 out of 10 is definitely disheartening. I will not lie. And yeah, you are right. When they do go down, you don't have that, you know, confidence that they can come back like you did for Yankees seasons past.
Right.
But just think for a second, having that mindset for 35, 36 years, man. I mean, come on. That's what I have to deal with every year. When they go down, you don't know if they're going to come back.
And you have a wild pitch.
You at least had a nice little 20-year run where you knew if they went down, they weren't out.
Yeah.
All right, so you're a little spoiled. I hate to say it, but couple of little slumps here and there, and you're like, you know, the world is on fire.
It is. It literally is.
A million of wagons are falling off their wheels, and you know, and right now with 69 and 69, I got nothing but hope.
Yeah.
And
meanwhile, I got
leading the wild card.
I got,
and you have
first.
You have no hope.
Yeah, I got runners on first and third, one out. Reese McGuire's up. We're already down 2-1. Game's done. It's over. It's over. Anyway, talking about the Yankees, the captain going into the Hall of Fame tomorrow, Derek.
El Capitan,
number two, Derek Jeter, will be going into the Hall of Fame along with Larry Walker from the Colorado Rockies. And what can you say? I mean, the guy had the most, you know, if Hollywood could obviously, Hollywood comes up with great movies. If they were going to script a career, who better than him? Comes up in 95, sitting on the bench for that Mariner series where they watched him lose the game. Don Mattingly's last season with the Yankees. Comes up in 96. Jose Fernandez, I believe. Who was the shortstop? Was it Jose Fernandez who was going to be the shortstop? Can't remember who the shortstop of the Yankees was going to be at that time. It might have been Jose Fernandez. I can't remember the name. Gets hurt. Jeter gets the start and never gives up shortstop. Goes on to win the World Series. Did he win Rookie of the Year that year? I don't think he did. I'm not sure. I think he might have. He might have won Rookie of the Year.
I think he did.
He did? Yeah.
I think he did have a Rookie of the Year. But
he wins his first of five world titles, part of a three-peat, the dynasty. And, you know, listen, he was there, and he was there for some tough losses, man. 2003, you know, ALCS. I mean, 2001, the 2001 World Series.
Yeah,
you had the 2003 World Series where he lost there. You had the 2004 ALCS, some down years there. And in 2009, they get back to the mountaintop. And look, the guy had 3,000 hits. What can you say? A storied career, the ending where he gets a single to win a game.
The
3,000. Yeah, the home run. I mean, everything that the guy did in his career was just something out of a movie. And, you know, what can you say? You tip your cap to number two, one of the great Yankees of all time, Derek Jeter, going into the Hall of Fame tomorrow. I'm looking forward to hearing the speech. He always has these ways of rising to the moment, giving these speeches. I wonder what he's going to say tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I mean, of course, as a Mets fan and having to deal with that on my crosstown rival, of course, there's no love lost when it comes to Derek Jeter, but you can't help but just respect the way he played the game. And I mean, he had some questionable moments. Don't get me wrong.
No, he did.
A couple of little shimmies towards the ball and little theatrics towards, hit by pitches. And
he was beamed a lot. Pedro hit him a lot. Yeah. I mean, listen, he sat on the inside of the plate. He got hit a lot.
I hear you. But because he was a good baseball mind and he was just a, you know, sound baseball player, that's part of the game. It is what it is. You can hate it. You can love it. But there's no denying he was one of the greatest to ever play the game. I mean, definitely one of the
top shortstops. Yes, absolutely.
One of the best shortstops to ever play. And just a natural leader on his team and in baseball. He was part of that golden era in baseball. Like, I mean, the 90s, we talk about now how baseball's losing a little bit of traction. But in the 90s, he made it fun. You know, he made it cool. Interesting. And it was all a matter of, can the Yankees do it again, or can we beat the Yankees? There was two sides of the coin. It was the Yankee fans, real or bandwagon. Yes, front runners. And then there was just the others, whether they were rooting for their team in the World Series or a playoff series, or they were adopting a team just because, despite the Yankees. I'm guilty. I adopted a team or two.
Yes.
In my life.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have.
I have. I just, when somebody can't tell me what position Derek Jeter plays, I don't really consider them a real Yankee fan.
Yeah, and let's not forget he had probably one of the great plays in baseball history. 2001 ALDS, Shane Spencer throws a rocket from right field to G and throws it down the line, overshoots Martinez. Jeter comes, cuts it off, hits Posada. Jeremy Giambi gets called out at the plate, saved the season there for the Yankees in game 3. Mussina, I think, was pitching that night, comes out, then shuts them down, and then they come back and win that series in 01, and then on to the World Series. Obviously, they lost that World Series to the Diamondbacks, but, you know, just an incredible career. By the way, breaking news, Cole just got pulled from the game. Looks like he hurt his hand.
It's coming apart. Horses are running away from the wagon now.
Yeah, we were on
That's
the road.
It. You had no wheels. At least the horses were pulling it. And, but now the horses are like, screw
the horses
this.
Just, yeah, that's it. And it's
you got one horse left.
The Yankees
one of the two.
Yeah, right. There you go. The Yankees are getting to this finish line like barely there, man. It's just tough. It's tough. But yeah, so it's going to be fun tomorrow. I can't wait to see.
Along.
But on to something that you and I have been looking forward to for 7 months since.
And what's that?
February 3rd of 2021 was the last time that a game played.
Regular season game.
A meaningful game in the National Football League that counted is being played. And Thursday night down in Tampa, Dak Prescott leads America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, into the home of one Thomas Brady, seven-time Super Bowl champion, five-time MVP, going for the undefeated season, going for the 8th Super Bowl title to kick off the 2021 NFL season. I'm so excited, Mike. I can't wait. I can't wait for Sundays and be able to place some bets. And we'll talk about the bets that I placed at FanDuel in a minute. We'll get that a little later, but I can't wait to play some bets, eat some wings at Hooters with my buddies, watch some games, lose some fantasy football, lose some parlays, but excited for the 2021 NFL season to kick off Thursday night, 8 p.m. I just can't wait, man. What are your thoughts? Come on. Talk to me.
Well, number one, just across the wire, a little before we went live, I'm setting up the stream and everything, and all of a sudden, ding, ding, ding on my phone. The Ravens are signing Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, what?
I scoop him up in fantasy and go along with myself. Oh, Le'Veon Bell is joining the Baltimore Ravens because they lost J.K. Dobbins last week, and they lost Justin Hill yesterday to an Achilles injury. He's out for the year, so they have
Le'Veon's
Gus Edwards
gonna get 30
and
carries, pretty much,
Tyson maybe. Williams. Le'Veon got signed to the practice squad. But with the running game in Baltimore, and if he can learn that playbook, he has a chance to do something. They've tried out Todd Gurley months ago. They didn't take him. They brought in Bell and Devontae Freeman. Freeman is pretty much on his last leg, but Le'Veon Bell, he's going to be, you know, playing for a coach that, you know, he doesn't really take much crap. And, you know, he just really went to Andy Reid and said, I'll never play for Andy Reid again. And, you know, he had that little bad taste in his mouth, and He finally signed to a team. A huge fall from grace for Le'Veon Bell compared to what a couple of years ago. Him being the best running back, one of the best running backs in football. And, you know, then he held out.
That was the worst mistake. He just lost $14 million.
And then he lost, you know, he's lost steam. He's lost momentum. He couldn't pick up the playbooks. You know, the Jets, you know, really got bamboozled. And you know, I mean, it's he was worried more about his rap career at that point than he was playing New York Jets football. And, you know, then he went over to the Chiefs. And, I mean, he couldn't even help them win a title.
He had a play in the Super Bowl, right? Did he even play in the Super Bowl?
I don't even think he played.
I remember. That was the unfortunate Super Bowl where you and I picked the Chiefs and everybody in our show picked the Bucks.
Well, I think it was nine to six or something. It was like nine to two.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Congratulations to Mr. Thomas Edward Brady. You know, he's 7 Super Bowls, and you know he's not looking to stop anytime soon. So, you know, let's see what plays out tomorrow. Chris Godwin is a little banged up. So, Thursday night.
Yeah.
I apologize. Little banged up on Chris Godwin's side, but you know we'll see. Dak Prescott is cleared to go. All systems go on him, and I'm excited. You know, just like you asked the question, how excited are you? I'm pumped.
Yeah,
we just went past our last Sunday without NFL football
till February.
February 20th, 2022. Yep. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, it's a great time of the year, It's amazing, like the atmosphere and just the emotion it just provokes, you know.
Yes,
like NFL, yes. You know, like MLB opening day is great. It, like, I can't wait for like spring training, you know, pitchers and catchers after the Super Bowl's over. Like, you know, pitchers and catchers is great. And then spring training.
It's like the start of spring, right? Like, it's going to get warm again and all that.
Yeah. And then opening day, it's like there's like magic in the air when opening day MLB baseball is around the corner. But then something falls. You just fall off a cliff. After opening day, after, you know, April's over, May's over, and it's kind of like in a lull. Like, we just watched, you know, 50 games. You know, so you kind of know where your team stands, where your team doesn't stand. But NFL, it's just every single game counts. You know, in every sport, every game counts, but it's just so much more.
Yeah.
You know, and every, you know, it's just, even on Sunday Night Football, it's like, you know, you could have a horrible team playing on Sunday Night Football against a great team, but it's not a lock. It is not a lock. Like, you know, dark horses, any given Sunday. I mean, there's a movie called, named Any Given Sunday, because it's the truth. You know, I mean, when the Pirates in the MLB play a powerhouse, you know, you pretty much you're putting your money on the favorite. But when you're dealing with, you know, in the NFL, you know, that defense, there's three aspects to the team. You have the offense, you got the defense, you got the special teams. Every single one of them plays a part. And, you know, your offense might be atrocious, but those defense and special teams can win you a game against a powerhouse offense.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So it's just amazing, you know, what an NFL game, you know, consists of, and how it's just, you never know. You just never know. I mean, I was in a survivor pool. And the Jets were losing, couldn't even get out of their own way. And I picked the Rams, one of the most premier defenses in the league at the time, mind you, and a great offense at that. And the fact that they were playing in Los Angeles, and I picked the Rams to beat the Jets. I mean, the Jets haven't won a game. They haven't really even come close other than that Raiders game the week before, granted, and then they just shellacked them, and nobody saw that coming.
That was a minus. I remember that was Jets were plus 20. Remember that?
Were they 20?
Yeah,
I think 20. They might have been. Yeah, I think you're. I think 20. You're probably right, because it was in Los Angeles.
Yep.
It's just unbelievable how, you know, how that, and they just out the gates, They were up what, 2 touchdowns?
Yeah, yeah.
By the end of the first, we're I think it was like the first six, seven minutes. Yeah. But I am excited for, you know, to see that, you know, that game one though. But I'll let you touch on, you know, what we have game one in store for us.
Well, look, I'm excited for Tampa Bay, Dallas. Look, the Buccaneers are favored by 8 FanDuel Sportsbook. You want to place your bets, go to FanDuel
Sportsbook. Oh, is it 8?
It's 8 now. Look, nobody has, you know, they lost their guard due to COVID and COVID restrictions. Look, Tampa's at home. They're going to be rolling. Brady's going to have them ready. I think they're going to win that game. I don't know if they're going to win it by 8 points. I don't know if they're going to cover the spread. They might. I mean, they might. I mean, Dallas isn't all that there. But the game I'm excited for, you know, Mike, we've been talking about this for a while. What we're excited about here in New York, at least you and I are, is the man himself. He comes from Utah.
Zachariah?
Zachariah the Messiah. Zachariah the Messiah.
Zach all right, Wilson. All right. I like that.
Zachariah.
Did you just make that up on the cup?
Fly. I just made that up on the fly. Zachariah the Messiah. The prophet is here. They've written in the scriptures of a young man who would come and save the franchise. It is foretold that a young man with blonde hair and a rocket arm would come and save us, and he has arrived. Zachariah the Messiah Wilson. Sunday, 1 o'clock again at Carolina against Sam Darnold. Look, it's going to be an interesting game from this aspect that I think the pressure is going to be on Darnold to perform. And you know, when Darnold, bright lights, he gets rattled. We've seen him here for 3 years, gets rattled. I think Zach is going to be cool, calm Zach. Come in, move the offense. I think they're going to I'm not here saying the Jets are going to make the playoffs, but they're going to surprise some people. They're going to play well. My concern is obviously getting a pass rush and will they hold up on the corners. Bryce Hall is going to start on one side, and they're just going to play it by ear, I guess, on the other. But listen, we're playing 12 rookies. We're the youngest team in the league. And that defensive line is going to be ferocious with Vera Tucker and Mekhi on the left side over there. I think the Jets, look, I think they're going to play well. I don't think they're going to get blown out in this game. I don't think they're going to win. Look, I don't think they're going to win more than 7 games or, you know, everybody's saying 6, 7, whatever. But I think the Jets are going to play well in this game. I think Zach's going to play real well in this game. I think he's going to be very comfortable. And it's just going to be so exciting to watch him. I think he's going to throw for like 2 or 3 touchdowns. I have him in another fantasy league. I have him as a backup in our league. And I have him starting in another league that I have. I have him starting. And I have Mac Jones as a backup in that league as well. But I have him starting because I just think – and this gets to the what I did Saturday going to FanDuel Sports Bet. So I go to FanDuel because I placed 2 bets. And I know you're going to be happy with one of them. So let's talk about the first bet that I played. Zach Wilson, Rookie of the Year, plus 750. Put $100 down, took Zach Wilson, Rookie of the Year. Your thoughts?
7.5 to 1? I mean, okay. How much you put down?
100.
$100. All right.
Yeah. Now.
I mean, if you strongly believe it, I think he has a shot.
Yeah.
I was going to
put 100 on Elijah Moore, but I figured – if Zach's throwing the ball to Elijah Moore, no. And then the second bet I put, and this one, I think you'll like this one. NFL MVP. You ready?
Well, you've been talking about Josh Allen.
Josh Allen plus 1,400, $100.
I think 14 to 1 is great.
Put it down. Mark it down. I put it down. I got my little tickets right up here in the closet. I got them safely stored. So when gambling opens up in New York, and hopefully they put a FanDuel. Are they going to put a FanDuel Sportsbook in that Belmont thing over there? Do you know?
Well, I mean, they're opening up the online betting.
But what about is that opening up? The online December, right?
Well, they have the 4 upstate. They have the 4 sportsbooks upstate already.
You get on the site, you can't bet.
No. There's no online, but I think they have the exclusive. You know. Those 4 casinos upstate have like the exclusive rights for the in-person brick and mortar sports books. I don't know how good that, you know, how long that contract is for. And, have a different governor too. So yeah. I don't know.
No, I think she's going to keep that. I don't think she's going to stop us gambling.
By the way, I was taking Ocean Parkway the other day and they have like the Jones Beach sign and it says,
they took it down already.
They already changed the name. So I was like, oh, wow. For those of you that don't know what happened, look it up.
Yeah, look it up. There you go. But no,
New York listen, State governor, and you'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out. Yeah, but I took Josh Allen at a 14-1. I think that's a great number. I think he's going to have a monster year.
I think it's great. I think it's great odds to to take a shot in the. I mean, I wouldn't say shot in the dark either. Like,
because they have
got a shot there.
Yeah, because they got Rodgers and Mahomes, and I'm thinking, no, it's his year, man. I think it's his year, and I think look, the one team that can beat the Chiefs is them. To go in the AFC to go to the Super Bowl is the Bills. They have the defense, they have the talent. That's the one team that can beat them.
Well, if they keep on this whole throwing this air show and Josh Allen keeping the ball and running it himself for touchdowns and not giving it to the backs of Singletary and Moss and utilizing Diggs and Sanders and Gabriel Davis over there as one of the alternates there. And who do they got as tight end now? I know they had I think they brought in somebody else too, but
yeah, it was a big name tight end acquisition, I think.
It was, but they have weapons. They got a lot of weapons. Josh Allen, he was not given, they said that he was immature, he wasn't gonna be ready for this league, he was gonna fizzle out and die and whatnot. And I mean, it's been the exact opposite. The guy has improved every single year, and he was on a nice little pace at some point last year, and he sputtered a little bit about 6-7 games into the season, right around that, a week or two before that Cardinals game, and you had that that Hail Murray and that remarkable little catch over there to really shatter that Bills right before the bye. But they still made it to the championship game, so they just couldn't figure out Mahomes. I mean, the Buccaneers sure as hell figured them out pretty well, but now they know a little bit more. They're a little bit more seasoned. Right. And there's a lot of people that haven't been into that position before, aside from Stephon Diggs. Like he's been there, but now Josh Allen, the leader of that team, he knows what to look for, and it's the regular season that really judges the MVP, but I think he certainly has a shot, and I think for 14-1, it is definitely worth putting that money, and the juice is worth the squeeze there.
Of course, yeah.
Without a doubt. And it's going to be a fun year in Western New York.
It's going to be exciting up there. Yeah.
For those Bills fans, they're going to be shouting.
Yeah, oh,
they're going to be shouting, and they're going to have a lot of fun, and it's going to be interesting, because like you said, Mac Jones, he's starting. I mean, this AFC East,
yes,
is the youngest quarterback, 25 and under, and Josh Allen is the veteran. Yeah. He's the veteran of the bunch.
It's crazy, right?
That's insane, especially the fact that it's been anchored by, Tom Brady for 20 years, and now all of a sudden Josh Allen is the veteran of the AFC East and as far as quarterbacks go. And I actually went to the Bronx Zoo yesterday, which great place, by the way. But nice. I saw a dude wearing a Mac Jones jersey. I was like, wow. I was like, already? My goodness. But yeah, I mean, people obviously have their faith in Mr. Jones over there. We have our Mr. Zach Wilson. And yes, I think Zach Wilson will play better than Trevor Lawrence this year.
Will he win
the MVP? I don't know.
Yes,
but
yes. He's gonna,
I think maybe it depends on when they let Trey Lance or Justin Fields start.
Well, Trey Lance,
because that could definitely hamper his chances. I think Kyle Pitts has a decent chance too, though.
I agree with you on that. But here's the thing about Trey Lance. He already, I think he did a chip of bone in his finger or something, so he's out for week one, right? So he's not going to start right away. And then the other thing,
splint is off. He's not
soft already. Okay. And here's the thing about Justin Fields. Yes, highlight reel plays, crazy, but that hit that he took against the Bills, him reading defenses, I think he's going to have a rougher time than people. People see him being athletic over there, but he's still got to read these coverages and guys coming off the edge and stuff like that. I think he's going to have a little tougher time getting accustomed to reading defenses in the NFL. he's going to have some big plays. He's going to be able to light it up, move the ball downfield. But I think this is Zach Wilson's rookie of the year to lose. I really, really do. Unless Najee Harris runs for 2,000 yards in Pittsburgh.
Well, that's a possibility. But also, right? Last year it was Jefferson, right? Justin Jefferson?
I thought it was Herbert. Justin Herbert that won the rookie of the year. Was it him or Justin? Hold on. I'll tell you right now.
I thought Justin Jefferson did because he was like, didn't he get like a
let's see. Yards? Let's see. 2020 NFL rookie Chase Young. Defense. No, it was Justin Herbert. He was the offensive rookie of the year.
Okay.
Justin Herbert was the offensive rookie of the year, yes.
All right. Well, then, I mean, I guess.
He was a nominee.
Yeah. But I just feel like, you know, Kyle Pitts, he could possibly have a shot to, you know, score like, you know, 9-10 touchdowns.
No, for Kyle Pitts.
Julio Jones out of the picture.
Yeah.
And Calvin Ridley and, you know, they're just going to be throwing the ball a lot.
Right, right.
I mean, if he were to go like berserk as far as touchdowns go and yardage and that's like what I'm really, saying. Like he'd really have pretty much take Julio Jones type number, you know, I mean, there's enough for Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts to eat a lot.
I get it. But like he would have to like literally like he'd have to have like 15 touchdowns and like 1,200 yards like for him to win rookie of the year. Case closed. I think Wilson's going to throw for over 4,000 yards. I think he's going to throw 25, 30 touchdowns. I mean,
if Wilson throws for over 4,000 yards,
I think he is easily.
Well, I mean, I guess over 4,000 in this league. I think
he's got 17 games. He's got 17.
Oh, games. Yes. I forgot. One extra game, too.
Yes. So he should throw for over 4,000 yards. I think he's going to light it up.
So what is Josh Allen going to throw for?
He's going to throw 5,000 yards. You might throw 5,000 yards. Just fine. The only question with Josh Allen is.
With the extra game, 5,000. I mean.
Maybe. I mean, Breeze did.
Maybe more. No?
Maybe.
55?
What was Brady's number last year? I want to see what Brady's number was.
Well, I mean, he wasn't.
Well, I just want to see what like
is. What was Brady's numbers in that Randy Moss year?
Oh, it was crazy. 2020 Tom Brady stats. There we go. Let's see. He was last year. He threw for 4,600 yards, 40 touchdowns, 12 picks. With an extra game, he's throwing for 5,000 yards.
But who threw the 40 touchdowns?
Tom Brady.
He threw 40 touchdowns last year? He threw
40 touchdowns last year. Tied for second. He threw 12 interceptions.
Wow.
So, Yeah.
Stat leaders.
All right, so here. This is what I expect out of Zach Wilson this year. I want to see Justin
Herbert. Sean Watson threw 4,800 last year. That was the leader.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, 48 touchdowns to 5 interceptions.
As the Yankees.
Yeah, that's MVP like numbers right there.
So here is Justin Herbert's stats last year. He threw for 4,336 yards. He threw for 10 interceptions. Is that the right number? 10 interceptions?
Who are you talking about? Josh Allen?
No, Justin Herbert.
Yes, 4,336. 10 interceptions, 31 touchdowns. Yeah.
I mean, and he didn't start the first game.
He didn't start the first game, correct. So he was yards per game. He was averaging 289.
Right. So
that would have put him over 45 easy, almost 46. Right. No, over 46. And that would have put him third on the list, right around Brady's yardage numbers.
Right. So the way I look at it is –
Exactly. And another few touchdowns too. So 34.
Yeah.
34 touchdowns.
So Zach Wilson needs to give me 4,500 yards passing, 32 touchdowns, and throw anywhere between 10 and 15 interceptions. He's rookie of the year. Period. Stop.
Well, I think with him starting week one and having the extra game, You need more than 200 up on Herbert last year, no?
Yeah, he's got to throw
3,500.
Right, so he's got to throw for like 300 yards a game, pretty much.
He needs to do 48
touchdowns,
301 yards a game. That's right. At 16 games.
So yeah. So he's got to throw 300 yards a game. So if he does that, if he throws for 300
yards. And actually, Mahomes only played 15 games and he had 4,700.
Yeah. So Mahomes is going to throw for over 5,000 yards. He's going to throw for over 5,000 yards.
Yeah. Because he's going to play definitely 16.
Yeah. So last week, we did our NFC picks.
Yes.
And this week,
AFC. Now, I guess we'll go up from. I have a site up that that has them ranked as far as, you know, the over unders go. So we'll start at the bottom. Speaking of Deshaun Watson, he is still a member of the Houston Texans, but Tyrod Taylor, the quarterback that gets pretty much shit on the most,
right? I mean, so to speak. Buffalo.
He is now. Houston, he is.
Cleveland.
He is, yeah. I mean, Buffalo, he's like, we're going to go a different route. So see you later. We're going to go with Josh Allen and see what we have. Cleveland, concussion.
Baker Mayfield.
So, and now he has to play for the god-awful Houston Texans, who, but might I add, I heard rumors that Jamison Crowder might get traded there.
For who?
I don't know how true that is, but Jamison Crowder did contract COVID a couple days ago.
Yeah,
our Jets.
Yeah, he's not playing in week one. That means Elijah Moore.
He is vaccinated, though.
Okay. So that means Elijah Moore is going to start, though. And Elijah Moore is probably
going to Crowder is still up in the air, but.
Yeah, because of the testing, yes.
Yeah, because of the vaccination and because he's asymptomatic. But yeah, all right. So the Houston Texans over under 4.
Under.
I'd say under. I don't think it's going to be a very tough year in Houston. The Detroit Lions, 4.5.
They're in the NFC. I thought we're doing AFC this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Jets.
Let me just. Yeah. So next is the Jets at 6.
I'm going to say that's a push. I think the Jets will win 6.
Yeah. I guess push that.
Yeah.
The Bengals at 6.5.
You know, this is an interesting one. I'm going to go under.
I go under.
I just don't see him protecting Joe Burrow. I really don't, man. Jamar Chase can't catch a football. I mean, it's a mess over there, man.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have a lot. They're getting half a game more than the Jets are.
I got it.
6.5 for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I got to go under with that, man. I
got to go under, too.
I don't see them winning that.
With Etienne getting hurt, too?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's not like they got all-stars on, like, defense.
No. It's, you know, they're Lawrence building that thing.
I mean, yeah, it's a new coach.
And he's trying to run it like he's in college, too. I hear there's word on the street that things aren't going well.
However,
yes.
They have 2 games against the Texans. So is that a little cheat code?
1-1. I think they're both bad and they'll both split.
I don't know. I mean, they could possibly take both.
Maybe.
They could possibly take both. And then you have the Colts, which, you know, they're already having trouble fielding players. And, you know.
That's going to be a problem, Carson Wentz over there being unvaccinated and all that. That guy just.
That's going to be a problem. I mean, granted, they have a great coach and, you know, and they're probably going to, you know, still be a little bit of a powerhouse. But, you know, obviously the Titans are going to run all over the Jaguars, I think. But yeah. I don't know. I feel like. But who else could they win? I guess we got to look at their actual schedule and see. But I think they could take 2 from the Texans. I think the Texans are going to be that bad. The Raiders, 7.
Over. I think the Raiders are going to be better.
I think over too. Yeah.
They'll win 8 or 9 games. I don't think they're going to be that bad. Because if they are that bad, they're firing Gruden.
The team that you thought was going to give the Kansas City Chiefs a run for their money last year. Mm-hmm. Now led by Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy checked down Bridgewater. Teddy checked
down. Denver Broncos, 8.5.
I'm going under. I just
they have to play the Chargers twice.
Yep.
They have to play the Chiefs twice.
Yep.
Those are not, you know, any small feats, you know, any small tasks.
Yeah, I'm going on this.
So, yeah.
And they got to play the Raiders, man.
Eight and a half. I mean, 8.5 is, you know, that's 500.
Yeah, I'm going on
that. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. And who gets the extra game? The AFC, right? We do?
Yeah.
AFC?
Yeah.
But still, like, you have to pretty much win every single home game. So that's not going to happen. Steelers, 8.5. I think over.
Over. Yeah, I think the over.
I think over. The Colts at 9.
That's a good push. One, man. Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's a push.
If they can stay somewhat healthy.
Yes.
Yes. Can they win all their home games? Or, you know, in essence, that's what they have to win to hit a push.
Yes.
They have to win all of their home games.
I think that, yeah, I'm with you. They push.
Yeah. Tennessee Titans 9. I think they're winning their division. So,
yeah, I think they win 11 games. That's an over.
Yeah. The Miami Dolphins at 9.5.
Man, I was looking at this. They're a loaded team. The question comes down to, will Tua be able to lead them? Will Tua be the quarterback, or will Deshaun Watson come in middle of the season and be the quarterback? That's the question. If Tua's the quarterback, my guy.
Deshaun Watson be a quarterback for anybody in the middle of the season?
Maybe. Look, Miami's the destination wants to go. Man.
Okay, if hypothetically Deshaun Watson does come in the middle of the season.
Oh, it's over 9.5.
Then it's over 9.5.
But with Tua back there, man, I'm going to say under. Just because of the quarterback situation, I'm going under.
Yeah, I mean, they have to win 10 to go over. I mean, that's
a
tall task.
Yeah.
That's a tall task for Tua to get to. The Los Angeles Chargers, however, have the same exact over-under, 9.5.
I like
Justin Herbert. I trust
in Herbert. I trust. Yeah, I go over in Herbert. I trust.
I hit. I like that. Okay. In Herbert, I trust.
I
hit.
Oh, we got two. So I hit and Zachariah the Messiah.
Yeah. Oh man. I like that though. Zachariah the Messiah. That's good. I mean,
we should walk in with like robes and like
you heard it here first, everyone.
Yeah, Zachariah Messiah, patented here. Who else do we get? What's next?
New England Patriots, same thing, 9.5.
Mac Jones, I say that's a push.
You can't push at 9.5.
Oh, I'm sorry. Man, and they had 10 guys. That's Belichick. All right, I'll give me over because Belichick's on
the side. Yeah, because of the defense.
Yeah.
Because of the defense. And if we're not giving it to the Dolphins, that means that the Patriots are getting one or two of those wins.
Yeah.
And we didn't give it to the Jets. So, you know, just because of the Jets and the Dolphins wins right there,
yep,
has to push them up a little. The Cleveland Browns at 10.5. I say they get 10.
I'm going
to
go over. I think that team is better than 10. They're going to win. They're going to win 11 games. I think. Because it's a show me year for Baker. If Baker,
I guess I'm having a hard time with the 17th game.
Yeah.
In essence, he has to win all of his home games plus two to get 11.
Got it. Baker needs to ball out. I mean,
so if he goes 7, but they had
that defense is just real good, man. That defense is really good.
So really, we're talking 7-2 at home, 4-4 on the road.
Yep.
To get them 11 wins.
Yep, I say over.
I think, I guess that's over. The Buffalo Bills are at 11. I say over.
Over, easy.
Baltimore Ravens at 11. If they can't get out of their own way on injuries, then under. If Le'Veon Bell isn't a kryptonite.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson can overcome all the running back injuries and hold on to the ball and really control that offense.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a good defense. So, I mean, if they play good, they could win 12 games.
Yeah.
They can win 12 games.
Yeah. Last but not least.
The Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning AFC champions.
They might 12 go and a half. Over. They're going, I think they're going 15-2. Yeah. Now, here's the thing.
It's
possible. Mahomes is still hurt, though. Mahomes is not Mahomes. He's still got that foot problem, man. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on during the season. But, listen, it's Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. They're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah. I think we're in store for a very fun season. Let's take a quick look, though, at some of the lines for this week. We already touched on Tampa Bay, -8. Against Dallas Thursday night. I like Tampa Bay. I mean, it is a big spread, but I'm taking Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think so too. I just don't see Dallas, you know, matching up with them.
Yeah. Buffalo plays Pittsburgh. Buffalo is, Buffalo's home. Nah, at minus 6.5. So a touchdown to cover.
Buffalo.
I think Buffalo needs to come out and put down a statement right here. I mean, this is a big game.
Yeah, like, I think I'm with, like, I think,
hey,
Buffalo,
we yeah. are the team to beat in the AFC. Like, we are this. We are this team. And I think they do it.
I'm with you on that. I like Buffalo winning this matchup too.
The New York Jets head to Carolina. Carolina's favorite by 5.5.
So here's my thing about this game. My heart is with the Jets.
No.
Yeah. And my head says the Panthers. And then I think about Zach Wilson.
My name is Zachariah the Messiah.
Zachariah the Messiah. But I think of Sam Darnold giving me 2 picks.
Yeah, but
I keep thinking of Zach.
Let's not forget about the fact that they have Christian McCaffrey.
They do have Christian McCaffrey back, but he's coming off.
You don't have to throw the ball. You don't have to throw the ball into the questionable territories.
Right.
If Christian McCaffrey's there to bail you out 9 times out of 10.
Right. All right. My head says.
And they have a lot of weapons. They got Robbie Anderson.
They got Robbie Anderson. And they got this, there.
They got DJ Moore. And they got this rookie, Terrace Marshall, who's like, you know, people are loving this guy.
I guess.
And they did do decent considering what they had at their disposable.
I think the Jets will cover.
I think that's why Vegas wants
everybody to, right? Exactly. It's almost like it almost is like Vegas wants everybody to take the Panthers. I think the Jets cover.
I think if you're betting the game,
yeah,
I like the Jets on the money line over the spread at the, you know, at the money you're gonna get.
What, the 205?
Because look at it.
Plus 205?
250 for the Carolina.
All right.
Negative 250. They want you to bet.
Of course, they're like begging you to take spread. That.
They're begging you to take something there.
I take the Jets plus 205. But
over under 45. Does it hit the over? No.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some offense in this game. Yeah, but I think Carolina wins this game, first game for the Panthers.
I don't know. I'm undecided, but I think just based on the McCaffrey being there, Matt Rhule, you know, he's been with these guys. It is Saleh's first regular season game with the Jets. You know, I'd have to go with, it's probably going to end up being 5. Like, that's probably what it's going to be. Like, Carolina is probably going to beat them by 5. Oh. And it's just going to be just under. So that's probably what's going to happen. But I would pick Carolina.
Okay.
Houston Texans versus the Jaguars. The Jaguars. So here's one of them. One of those games. Minus 2.5.
Yeah. I take
the Texans.
I take Jacksonville to win this game. I don't see the Texans.
Yeah. The Jacksonville can win by a field goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cardinals at the Titans. The Titans are favored by 3.
I like Tennessee in this game. I'm not sold on Cliff Kingsbury. Julio.
Plus AJ. 3, though.
Yeah.
Plus 3. I guess if it was plus 3.5, I would definitely go Arizona.
Derrick Henry.
You know what? I'm going Arizona on the Titans game.
Okay.
I'm going Arizona.
Right.
Washington and the Chargers. Chargers visit Washington. Chargers historically do not travel well.
Yeah, and Washington's a hell of a defense. This is a pick'em game.
Game one. But this is game one, so all bets are kind of off when it comes to this travel east.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, you know, they just played a game, you know, the week before, and now they have to travel and then travel back. I think it's because it's the first game. I think that whole travel east thing doesn't really affect them as much. But it is going to be a tough and tall task. But I hit. And Herbert, I trust.
There you go. Okay.
I hit. Eagles at the Falcons. Battle of the Birds. Falcons are favored by 3 in their Metrodome. You take this one.
Jalen
Hurts.
It's
3 even, according to this one.
Matt Ryan and Kyle Pitts, plus 3.
I think Atlanta is going to lead by 14.
And then lose the game. That's the thing.
And lose the game.
I'll take Philadelphia in this game.
Yeah. And the over.
And the over, because if until Atlanta shows that they can win a game, you know, why take them?
The Seattle Seahawks at the Indianapolis Colts. Seattle is favored by 2.5. I think with Indy dealing with all these, it's the foot, it's the COVID, it's this, it's Seattle. Like I said, it's the first game. Yes, they're traveling, and you know Seattle sometimes has a problem with that, but this is the first game. And this is something that they pretty much planned for, you know, the whole off season is that first game,
right?
You know, no tape, no nothing. You know, like they're going off of, they have plenty of time to practice and game plan for this. So Seattle by a field goal, I think I have to take Seattle by a field goal.
Of course,
the Cincinnati Bengals host the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota is favored by 3 away in Cincinnati.
I am not a fan of Kirk Cousins, man. I don't know how. I mean, they must have no hope in Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and all that. I'm taking the Bengals in this one. I do not. I mean, Dalvin Cook, obviously, and all that. But I have no. I am not a fan of Kirk Cousins. I have no faith in that guy. I'm taking the Bengals. +3.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm just not a fan of Kirk Cousins. I don't know. He's the guy.
Cincinnati. I mean, yes, Burrow, but they don't have a defense. Like Minnesota doesn't have a great defense either, but better than Cincinnati's, no?
That game's in Cincinnati.
But I get it. It's in Cincinnati, but how good is Burrow's knee?
Yeah, I know. It's a psychological thing now with him.
I'm going Minnesota.
All right, I'm going with the Bengals at home.
The 49ers visit Detroit, and it's the 49ers up 7.5.
Yeah, I'll take the Niners on that. Easy.
Detroit stinks.
Yeah, Detroit stinks.
It's Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's all right.
Yeah, they have a lot of weapons, though.
It's Detroit.
They have a lot of weapons. All right, I mean, it's a rough spread with a little over a touchdown, but yeah, 7.5. All right, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Browns at Chiefs. The Chiefs are favored by 6. I'm taking the Chiefs. But it's not gonna be closer.
It's gonna be closer. Yeah.
I think
if I was betting the game, I'd take the Browns +6.5. I mean, unless they have no faith in Baker Mayfield. My God, 6.5. Jesus.
Well, I have 6 of it, whatever.
Oh, okay.
I'm on CBS, but
got it.
It's Caesar's Sportsbook. That's what I have here.
Oh, okay. I'm on FanDuel, but
yeah.
We're there. We'll take the Chiefs to win that game.
Yeah. Patriots versus the Dolphins. It's in New England, and the spread is 3. New England is favored.
I will take the New England Patriots to win this game.
I push. They win by a field goal.
Okay.
The Broncos visit the New York Giants.
Football Giants. Is Saquon playing?
Denver is favored.
See, I don't know how you favor Denver.
I'm going with the Giants.
I'm going with the Giants on this one too, man. I'm going with the Giants with the money line. Well, 134 or whatever it is?
140 on this.
Oh, okay.
No, I would just take the spread because it's not enough juice for the spread. Yeah. So I would take the 3 they're giving me. New Orleans, Green Bay.
Green Bay in this game.
They're playing in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Hurricane Ida displacing them. But it is, for all intents and purposes, a Saints home game. The Green Bay is favored by 4. There's Aaron Rodgers is there. Drew Brees is not. Green Bay. All right. And then we have Sunday night. Rams, Bears in Los Angeles. SoFi Stadium. Rams are favored by 7.5. Andy Dalton is starting for the Chicago Bears. At least he's starting the game.
That's all you need to know.
We don't know if he's going to finish the game, but I think Stafford has his familiarity with the Chicago Bears. I think Stafford makes a statement and he goes off on this game.
I'm with you on that one.
7.5, and Las Vegas hosts the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens are favored by 4.5. Monday Night Football in the Death Star. I'm going with the Raiders. At least to cover. 4.5. I think.
I'm with you on that. I think the Raiders cover that. Yeah, 4.5.
I think to cover. I don't think they win.
Yeah.
That's all right.
There it is.
More days. Two. 48 just hours. Just like the number of Zechariah the Messiah.
Zechariah the Messiah. Zach, if you're out there watching nothing to do, come on the show.
Oh, yes. I don't think he has anything else to do.
No, I know. But if he's bullshitting, you know, come on the show.
Yes. No, of course. Please. We would love to have you on. And yeah. Mr. Justin Herbert, we would love to have you on as well.
Roger Goodell, yeah. If you're watching, we'd like to have you go on too.
Roger Goodell, yeah. Anybody?
Yeah. And by the way, Roger Goodell, if you are watching and listening, could you open up an NFL store in Manhattan, please? I'm tired of going to NFL online and can't find the jersey my size. Please open a store. Is that too much to ask? Apparently. All right. That's my rant for the night. All right.
All right. Everybody, thank you very much for joining us. We will see you next Tuesday. And enjoy not only this Thursday night, but all day Sunday, 7 hours of commercial-free NFL football.
Starts at 9 a.m. You know what that's like to get up at 9 a.m.? Well, the pregame.
Yeah, the pregame.
NFL Network, Rich Eisen and all those guys, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then
Monday night. Yes. The NFL's back, baby. Can't wait.
It's gonna be a lot of fun, but definitely cannot wait. Tomorrow, MLB Network for the induction for Derek Jeter, 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Tune in, and we will see you next Tuesday to break it all down.
It's gonna be great
right here on Fan Experience TV. Have a great night, and have a great NFL Sunday, everybody.
Peace. Enjoy.